Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast with Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner. Today is part two in a four-part series entitled Financial Affirmations in Retirement. Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. I'm fine, thank you.
Wonderful. I heard you had a great weekend. Can you give us a little story behind what you did this weekend?
Well, my husband and I spend a little time once a year just having a day alone without cell phones, without computer access, and kind of have a format that we go through to look at our year in retrospect and look forward into what lies ahead and maybe some thoughts, some ideas, some goals, and what can we do to encourage each other or hold each other accountable. And it's sometimes hard work, but definitely worth it. And get outside, do a little walking, do a little bit enjoying of our absolutely gorgeous Rocky Mountains that we get to live in. So in deep appreciation of each other in this gorgeous place, we look forward to what 2019 has for us.
That is awesome. Hey, just out of curiosity, I know that you said you unplug, you don't have any electronics and things like that. How long have you been doing this retreat with your husband?
Year number two.
Yes. Hey, that's the great foundational start of something beautiful right there.
You know, not longstanding, but it's been something that's important to us. So we're both lifelong learners and we both want to make the most of whatever season we're in. And sometimes that takes some intentionality in looking at it and what you want to accomplish and what's working, what's not, and what adjustments need to be made.
Well, I'll tell you what, next year, my wife and I are celebrating 25 years of marriage, and you are absolutely spot on. Doesn't matter what's going on in your world, work-wise, kid-wise, family-wise, you have got to get by yourselves and get that reset button. And that's something that we need to do. We do date night and things like that, but getting away is, you've planted the seed, Danielle, so I appreciate that. That's something I'm going to take into consideration and talk to Candy about, and we'll do that from this point on. I like it.
I look forward to hearing what your plans are.
Well, I think we're coming to Colorado because doing it here in Nebraska, it's really flat here and not as much beauty to behold, and I would love to get up to Estes Park again and just spend some time up there, nice and quiet in the mountains.
This is great.
Yeah, gorgeous. All right, so if you're okay with it, I would love to go back and visit the affirmations that we started on the first podcast and just read through them to bring up the audience to speed. Is that okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You bet. So in the first podcast, we covered the very first affirmation, which I'll read right now. I will bring money into my life with integrity, dignity, competency, grace, and joy. Today's podcast will be going over number two, which is I will share my financial resources with moxie and momentum, which I love that. The third affirmation is I will nurture, grow, and protect my financial life with diligence, wisdom, and care. And the fourth one, I will spend my money within safe boundaries and joyful intention. Covering that second affirmation today, where do we start, Danielle?
Well, let's start with the order of the affirmations. Did you notice anything different about maybe the way we bring these affirmations up?
I did. And what I thought to myself when I was reading through these, I love the fact that the number two one, which we're covering today, is I will share, and that comes before I will spend, which is number four. So I think that's really good to be thinking of others first and then self.
Yes, I think it's a cultural shift that we're trying to make. And the way we've normally done it is we bring money into our life, whether it's with work or with bringing, you know, during retirement, it may be with your turning on the faucet for your 401k or from Social Security. So you're mm-hmm. bringing money into your life. Then we spend it. We've got all of those expenses. We've got to pay for a roof over our head and clothing on our back and fun nights out and trips and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So people tend to spend, then they may, you know, think about growing and protecting and nurturing it. And if there's anything left over, we'll give it. And so I'd like to think of it kind of in a different priority, because I think true financial health will really thrive. And this shift in our priorities, if we start taking a look at how to share what we have, and I think it'll bring a lot more impact in your life and more happiness to your life.
I agree. And so my next question truly is, when we talk about sharing, this says share with moxie. What is sharing with moxie, Danielle?
Well, I think we, first of all, we have to take a look at changing, again, maybe some of our verbiage. Traditionally, we've heard, let's give back. Let's see how we can give back. And I think, at least because I work with a lot of nonprofits, I work with a lot of donors and people who are looking at how to best share, that maybe I just hear it too much. But in my mind, I hear give back, and it conjures up that idea of, well, you took something away. I picture the little kids playing in the sandbox and give Jimmy back his toy, you know. Yeah. And I think in our current economic environment, there's a lot of consternation about the idea of sharing can have a political bent to it too. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want people to get caught up in maybe some of the words we're using. So when I say share, it's not like redistribution of wealth. That isn't the point here. And when I talk about giving back, it comes from a place of when you have brought money into your life with integrity, dignity, competency, grace and joy, and you started to wrap your hands around that idea of gratitude, and I live in with a mindset of abundance, then you're able to share, you're able to open your hands. And that leads us into that idea of, can we give with moxie? Mm-hmm. So to talk about moxie is the Urban Dictionary. Again, it's a new word. It's a real hip word, especially up here in the Roaring Fork Valley. I live close to Aspen, so we've got all the latest hip vernacular. And in the Urban Dictionary, it's defined as sass and courage and spunk and determination or attitude. Mm. And so I encourage people to go, well, what does that have to do with giving of my financial resources? We know that we're a nation of givers, and we are a very generous country. In 2016, Giving USA says that, you know, American individuals, estates, and foundations have contributed an estimated $390 billion to U.S. charities.
Wow.
That's huge. We give a lot. But could we do more? I think so. I know I can. Mm-hmm. I want to. Could we do it more efficiently? Could we take a look at what resources we have to share? And how can we get creative with that? Or how could we learn about how to do it? You know, I think we can. Can we give without jeopardizing our own needs or those of our family in how we share and what we share? Mm-hmm. I think so. And can we share while we're living, so we're knowing where it's going? Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
And so this is where I think of as moxie. We just kind of have to, you know, get a little bit of attitude around sharing what we have. And I think it can be a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of joy to be experienced, a lot of creativity to be experienced in our giving. So that's what I define as kind of that moxie.
I agree. And I love the fact that it really is associated with kind of that word, you know, like you said, being sassy, some attitude there, and giving with a good attitude is what makes all the difference. And the words give back almost sound like an obligation. And it's something that you have to do because you've been given something, you have to be able to give back. And I think that that's the wrong attitude to go in with. We, as a nation, like you said, have given so much, and especially in times of need, people are generous and they don't think about, oh, I've been given this, so I'm definitely going to give to them. It's just, hey, they need something and I'm going to give it. And then the last thing is, I just love the word moxie. I mean, moxie. Yeah, it is a fun word. So, and momentum is fun too, but not as fun as moxie. But where did the momentum part of this affirmation come from?
Well, that idea that you are not pulling a U-Haul behind a hearse, that you yeah. can't take it with you.
Yeah, as much as you try.
There's lots of fun little stories about that. Yeah. You know, I think a lot in the estate planning process, people want to have control from the grave, which is another podcast. But
I'm writing it down. Control from the grave. Got it.
Yeah. But bottom line is you can't take it with you. So yep. Why not figure out all the moving parts while you're alive to either share some of what you have while you're living or set it up properly for when you're gone. But that momentum means how can we start amplifying the conversations and the contacts and the connections. And we want to look at how do we vet the organizations that you want to be involved and engaged with, mm-hmm. or how do you want to educate those that are going to be receiving it, you know, over your lifetime? If you want to help family members out with building on their human equity and their human capital in good ways, again, we will always want to take a look at how do we want to lift others up. Mm-hmm. By the story of, you know, we want to teach people how to fish, not give them the fish.
Yeah.
So that momentum is, it involves education. It involves really understanding what you have and how to use it wisely and experiencing the joy along the way. And it's creating that flywheel of generosity. The more you do it, the wiser you get about doing it, the better you understand the tools that you can use in giving it. And it creates more momentum.
Danielle, you and I have been working together for a while now, not long enough because I don't know a ton about you. And I don't know exactly how you got into business and when and what you did before you started your own business and all that. So I'm excited to learn more about that journey. But I'm curious, especially for this podcast, can you kind of share some of your story around how you've come to this point in your life and that journey of generosity that you've figured out with your husband, by yourself, with your family? How has that come about?
Thank you for asking. It's something, again, what we in our working together, I have encouraged people to start talking about mm-hmm. their money stories, their money scripts. And those scripts have a context around every different aspect of your money life, how you bring it in. And so in how you give it, I think it's really important that we look at our stories. And I, in looking at my own, as I've been on this journey of generosity, it started out way back when, you know, little girl and putting some change in those little pastel envelopes to put into the church basket. I don't know if it was the pastel envelopes or just the actual, it was kind of fun to put it in a basket or I'm not too sure what aspect of it brought me joy, but it was fun and it made me feel good. My family was very focused on life generosity. I don't think they intentionally did it. I think it was just in their nature. It might've been in their DNA. And then, you know, now it is in mine. But we were, you know, I saw my mom cooking food for Meals on Wheels, and we would have guests into our home to share a meal or share a holiday. My dad was involved with Kiwanis, and so I grew up with, it was part of what we did and who we were. And so as I grew into my own relationships and you know, married Mark, we had to bring our life stories together. And, you know, again, I don't think it was intentional, but the conversations just started happening. But I think for many people, we need to be intentional about it. It was natural for us, but for, I would say the bulk of people out there, you know, coming up with a story about your memories around giving is not something that comes up at the dining room table.
Yeah, I think it should, though. I mean, because that's, it's powerful. Those stories mean something to each individual person. The reason why you give, especially to a specific organization, it's usually deeply rooted in history. Somehow it's affected you, and that's why you're giving to the specific cause or giving to your church or whatever it is. So I've got two questions based on that for you. One of them would be, can you kind of talk about some tools that people could think about and use, especially since we're in the season of giving? And then the second part of it is, if somebody's out there listening that really didn't have that, maybe their parents weren't the type to give to a charity, or at least maybe they didn't do it openly so that the children were able to see and they didn't get kind of taught that from an early age, how would you say that they start living that journey of generosity if they have that curiosity of how you get to that point?
We have to embrace that it is a journey and that you're going to start somewhere. And to just dip your toes in the proverbial giving water, sharing water. I think a good way to start is, you know, again, having the conversations and starting to embrace that mindset of abundance and sufficiency. So I think it needs to start with an attitude, that attitude of gratitude. What we appreciate, appreciates. And if we can have that type of an hold things with open hands and be grateful for what we have, it frees us up to share a little bit more. And once you step into that and give a little bit and feel how good it feels, then you might try it in a little bit different way. I will share some ideas, especially with this time of season that we're entering into, that could, you know, be really valuable tools.
All right.
But I think, first of all, we have to wrap our heads and hearts around that attitude of gratitude and that mindset of abundance, because you can't share when you're constantly seeking on how to fill yourself. And if you have a mindset of scarcity, and that's that idea of, oh, I need to get it before somebody else gets it. And I really want to be careful about, I do not come about this from a mindset, you know, of judgment. Everybody is on a journey and everybody is at a different place. And I have struggled, you know, throughout my life on this journey. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm doing it right and you're doing it wrong. I'm saying we need to look at this together. We need to share our stories. We need to maybe step out in faith and face some of our fears around giving, try something on for size, see how it fits, see how it feels, make some adjustments and move to the next step.
Absolutely. And for those that are listening, if you're listening to this and saying, you know what, I just can't, it's too tight financially, or I've got so many obligations. We understand that. We get that. We've been there. Some of us are there now. It's not always about money. It's also about time. And it doesn't even have to be outside the family. If you have an elderly aunt, uncle, parent that you can just go and spend a couple hours with, just helping them around their house, easing a little bit of that burden, that's exactly the same thing. It's the same thing that we're talking about, and that's all part of the same journey. So I think it's important to say that, because this isn't all about finance. That'll come at a time when you're able to do that and you'll find that reward and that enjoyment from that. But even now, just knowing the winter months are coming, there's things you can do in the community.
Thanks for bringing that up, Eric. I think it's really important. Let's start with a smile. Our world needs more smiles. Our world needs more. Take a moment instead of asking somebody, you know, how you doing and moving along your way, to really share some time and take that time to listen at how they're doing. These are the important places to really start sharing. Then we can move into the financial context.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to share a quick story with you, Daniel. It just came to mind when you said that. I have a buddy of mine. His name's Rod, and I will be sending this podcast to him as well. But years ago, he had a commute. We both lived in Washington State, and he had a commute that was about 45 minutes. And every morning, he would be driving to work, and people passing him, just he noticed that they looked grumpy. Everybody that was passing him, coming toward him, that is, just looked grumpy. And so he just started waving, just with one hand right off the steering wheel, just waving.
That's perfect.
Right, just waving. And he said, you wouldn't believe it. Within about 2 to 3 weeks, about 50% of the cars coming at him were waving back. Something so simple, so small. And this guy is always happy, always smiling. And so he's just like, I don't want to see people like this. And so he just started a complete stranger, just waving frantically and smiling really big. And they probably thought he was completely insane, but they started waving back and smiling. And that's all it was. Something so simple. And it was a huge impact, I think. So didn't want to derail it, but I thought that was a great little story.
That's perfect. And I think so many times when we think about sharing or financial giving, we think of it either, I want to make sure what I'm giving is being in the use, used in the way that I think it should.
Yes.
And that's a perfect example. You're never going to know how you changed that person's life. You're never going to know what the trajectory of the rest of their day and how it was going to go and what might have changed there. And that's something I think we need to take into consideration when we give of our financial resources. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think we all wrestle with is how is my money going to be used?
Yes.
Or there may be some other emotions that are involved there that we have to unpack and understand that, maybe we're not giving for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. If it's connected to ego or, you brought money into your life in a way that maybe wasn't too good and you're kind of wanting to give it back because that didn't feel too good to bring it in. And I just encourage people to take a look at your emotions, your feelings, your mindsets, and bottom line, your heart around giving. Because once we get into using financial tools, I think we can really create some leverage and some, like I said, the momentum behind that sharing of our financial resources.
Absolutely. Danielle, for those that are at a point in their lives where they're able to use finances to impact others and give charitably and do some planning like that, what are some tools that they can use that will also help, whether it's their family or make a bigger impact, whatever those things are? What are some tools that they should be looking at?
We know that taxes shouldn't be your driving factor in giving. And we know that if we're really pursuing our heart and understanding our stories, that we're going to create that momentum around giving. Mm-hmm. But I do think it is important that we understand the financial tools that we have and use them wisely, effectively, efficiently. Charity Navigator says that 12% of annual giving occurs in the last 3 days of the year.
Wow.
So we know tax benefits do matter to people, even if they are following their heart and, really creating that momentum. I think it's important that people need to analyze. We've got a new tax year. We're in the midst of this first year with the tax changes. And I think the place to start is to take a look at your standard deduction that has now increased for individuals. It's now up to $12,000. So for a couple, you're going to have a standard deduction of $24,000. Mm-hmm. And if you're over age 65, this is one that a lot of people don't know, is that you will get an extra $1,300 per person on your standard deduction.
Oh, wow.
So, the standard deduction has increased quite a bit, and it's probably going to mean that less people are taking their itemized deductions mm-hmm. and moving more towards those standard deductions. They're saying that about 30% of Americans have itemized in the past, and now it's estimated that that's going to go down to about 10%.
Wow.
We've got a really short window now in 2018. And I know people may be hearing this podcast in 2019. And mm-hmm. that's good. We can always do some planning into next year. But one of the tools that you could use towards the end of this year is something that I call lumping and chunking. Mm-hmm. And this is where you take a look at what's going to be better, your standard deduction or itemized deduction. And if you can still, if you still want to look at itemizing for this year, you could use some tools to get a whole bunch of money to nonprofits in a creative way this year And then go ahead and in 2019, take your standard deduction. Mm-hmm. So let's peel that apart a little bit. There's times when I will use a donor advised fund for a client, which is a charitable organization in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But what you can do with a donor advised fund is that you can give appreciated assets. So if you have stocks that have appreciated over time, and if you were to cash those in, you might get hit with capital gains. A lot of donor advised funds can take on different type of real estate or business assets, or some even, you know, allow you to contribute livestock or hard assets. Mm-hmm. But it's a way for you to get around the capital gains. So you contribute to a donor advised fund, you get a deduction in the year that you put whatever asset into this donor advised fund. Then the donor advised fund will sell whatever you have contributed to it and purchase probably a balanced type portfolio. But then you can give it away. It's a donor advised. So then you will be able to advise the fund where you want to give to. So if you want to set up monthly giving to your place of faith, or if you want to set up some sort of systematic giving, that's something that you could use for your giving all of 2019 and maybe into 2020. And it's a way to get a huge tax deduction in 1 year, but do your giving moving forward in different ways. So it's a, you know, it's an interesting tool to look at how you might be able to chunk your giving into either the end of this year, or maybe even into next year. You want to, of course, talk to your financial advisor to see how this fits into your overall plan, mm-hmm. and how you would want to maybe bring in your family to have discussions around where you want to advise the fund to give some of your resources away. So that's a really fun one to use if you want to get strategic and lump and chunk your charitable dollars into 1 year or another. It's complicated, Eric. So this is where we want to make sure you're talking with your tax advisors, mm-hmm. that you've got a team of fiduciaries that is walking alongside you to make sure, you know, again, you're using the best tools for the best fit in your situation. And your team wants to be, you want that made up of a good financial advisor, a good tax advisor, maybe a good estate advisor. And everybody wants to be seeking out what's in your best interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about another one, especially for folks who are in their rewirement, refirement, retirement years. Mm-hmm. And they may have hit that magical age of 70 and a half where they have to start taking their required minimum distributions, mm-hmm. out of their IRA. There is now a rule that's been put into stone called the qualified charitable deduction, which allows you to take that required minimum distribution, or even more if you would like, and give it directly to an organization of your 501c3 choosing. It can be really powerful in that it allows you to give money directly out of your IRA, mm-hmm. to the organization and keep it off of the first page of your tax return.
Nice.
So how does your usual RMD, or when you take money out of your IRA, how does that come to you?
In a check.
In a check. Okay.
And, it also comes taxed. In
it's taxed.
Yeah,
there
absolutely.
You go. It's taxable income on, yes. the first page of your 1040. And this can have a really big impact if you have a large IRA and are having to pull money out of that on an annual basis, because the government knows that's the largest bucket of money that they're going to get as taxable opportunity, mm-hmm. for them. If you are able to send that money directly to a nonprofit and it keeps it off of that page one of your tax return, it keeps your adjustable gross income lower. It's also going to impact your Medicare premiums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it can have a huge impact. And again, because standard deductions have gone up so much, And it may be a better way to go rather than take the income. So you get your check from whatever IRA custodian you're working with, and it goes into your bank, and then you turn around and you write a check to the organization of your choosing. And even though on your itemized return on your Schedule A, you can deduct up to 60% of your AGI. It was capped at 50% with a carry forward that's actually risen to 60%. But for a lot of people, you know, taking it off the front page of their tax return is going to be a lot more effective mm-hmm. and efficient. So again, weighing that out with your advisors to take a look at, do you want to take that IRA, and it could be your required minimum distribution, or it could be, again, a little bit more, and giving that directly to the nonprofit organization can be really powerful in saving you taxes as well as getting money to your organizations.
Nice. Are there any other tools that you want to talk about on this podcast?
We've got so many of them, and we might have to do another podcast on how they, some of the details around them. You can take a look if you need income, if you're concerned that, oh my gosh, if I give this away, I might not have enough for myself. Again, this is where the planning piece comes in. This looks at where you really want to look at your time frame, your opportunity for growth, all the different moving parts, and be working with an advisor. Mm-hmm. But the idea of a charitable remainder trust may be a tool that you want to take a look at. And this is similar to a donor advised fund in that you can put appreciated assets of all sorts into it. But in this one, you get a return. You get to pull money out of it. You get income out of this trust. Mm. Again, lots of moving parts to it, but I just encourage people to educate themselves as we're looking at how do we want to give in ways that follow our hearts with our financial resources? How do we want to share the financial assets that we have in ways that are powerful, that a charitable remainder trust may be a tool that you want to take a look at.
Yeah. Danielle, you have shared a ton of great information on this podcast. I'm looking forward to the other two in this series. But before we wrap up today, what would be your one bit of advice that you want everyone that's listening right now to understand and hear from you?
Giving feels really good. Sharing. Yeah. Sharing. It just brings new joy to your financial journey. Yeah. And so that's the bottom line. But I think for many people, we need to educate ourselves. We need to have conversations about it. We want to find wise counsel. You know, feel free to give me a call. Mm-hmm. Feel free to take a look at, there's other, you know, organizations out there that do some, whether it's educational about who you are as a giver. BoulderGiving.org is a really good one. GenerousGiving.org is fantastic, as is WomenDoingWell.org. I also encourage people to take a look at our e-course, Doing Dollars Differently Retirement, an 8-week course that you can do in the privacy of your own mm-hmm. home in your pajamas.
Definitely good in the wintertime. Big fire, pajamas, and e-course.
Yes. And we're going to be looking at, again, all of these ways of bringing money into your life, sharing and giving, growing, spending with intention in your retirement season. We've got a monetary manifesto that you can download online for free. And you can also get your personal copy of the financial affirmations at www.DanielleHoward4U.com.
Danielle, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate the time with you, Eric. Thank you.
You bet. And thank you all for listening to Wealth Done Differently Retirement with Danielle Howard. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Danielle comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And I would love for you to share this series especially, but more importantly, this journey of generosity is a personal journey. And if you have questions, if you're curious, if you want no-nonsense answers with no judgment, and just to talk to somebody about their experience and kind of how you might be able to break into this in a wise way and protecting you and your family and the finances that you've been blessed with, give Danielle a call, please. She's amazing, and she would love to hear from you. And she'll just sit down and have a great conversation in an office that overlooks a beautiful river, and you couldn't get much more relaxed than that. Thanks again for listening today. For everyone at Wealth Done Differently Retirement, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.